Welcome to our worship service here this morning. We gather this day to celebrate life, the life we have been given by God, the life we share with one another in community, the life that Jesus gives in abundance. Today we will take time in our service to remember our loved ones who have gone forward from this world during this past year. As we remember their faith and love, May the God of love give peace to those who grieve. Let us be grateful for the joy of life, and let us worship God. As a part of our worship service, we like to take a moment to turn our attention to the bulletin and see what is happening in the life of the church. I will provide a few announcements, but I urge you to read your bulletin in full, as there are many other updates and important information. Please take note that Pastor Randy is currently away on vacation until January 16th. During this time, if there are any pastoral needs, please contact Paul Adams by phone or by email that are listed in the church directory. Next Sunday, January 15th, following our worship service, Church Council is hosting a farewell luncheon for Taya Hines. All are invited to join, and Council is asking for those who are able to please bring sandwiches or desserts to share together. This coming week, our praise and worship choir practices are starting back up, as well as the quilting ministry and the young adults group, so take a look at the week at a glance for days and times that are listed there. Our music team will now lead us in songs of worship. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 146, verses 1 to 10. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, and the Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. Let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. You brought us out of the slavery of sin with the blood of Jesus Christ and set us free to eternal life in him forever. Great is your name and most worthy of praise. We will praise you for all of our life in word and song. Our trust is in you, O God, for only you can save. You are our helper and hope, and we are blessed because we trust in you. You are the maker of heaven and earth and everything in them, and you remain faithful forever. You do not abandon us in our time of need, but uphold us and provide for us. You set us free from the bondage of sin and oppression and give us strength when we are weak. Father, we thank you that you watch over us without slumber. Your love is faithful and never ending. You love the righteous who call on your name. You sustain us and watch over us. Great are your mercies towards us. You are King of kings and Lord of lords, and you reign forever through all generations. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God forever. We love you and praise you, our Lord, our Savior, our King. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Mystery of Song by singing "Oh, Have You Not Heard."
You'll notice on the screen there'll be two verses and then the chorus.
Pastor Randy has prepared this wonderful memorial service, and in his absence, because of vacation break, he has asked me to officiate at this part of the service. May I also acknowledge the amount of legwork that Eileen Goodyear, our office administrator, has done to prepare this for us, along with the PowerPoints that we will be viewing. In fact, I received an email from Pastor Randy yesterday. I don't know where he is or what he's doing, but he had received some regrets from family members who said, "We just can't make it today to the service for other reasons. Some are working in their church, serving in their church. Others are simply away from the area." So we acknowledge you who are here today. We further want to acknowledge that this service was postponed from Eternity Sunday, November the 20th. A very difficult decision was made because we know that many of you had made special plans to be here for Eternity Sunday, November the 20th. But alas, decisions had to be made. And the decision was made that we would postpone our time of remembrance until this Sunday, January the 8th. We always have followed the tradition of following the Christian calendar year. And the Christian calendar year ends on what we call Eternity Sunday, the last Sunday of the Christian year. And then following that, we begin the holy season of Advent. So please understand, though we understand and accept that there have been loved ones who have passed away since November the 20th, their names will be honored and recognized on Eternity Sunday 2023. As a Christian faith community, we believe that Jesus died, was buried, raised to new life, and ascended to heaven, from where one day he will return. Having experienced the death of loved ones, we grieve our loss, yet with thankfulness for their life, love, and faith, we entrust their resurrection to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We grieve, but not as those who have no hope for eternal life. As names are shared, family members are invited to stand if you are able. While the photo of your loved one is on the screen, then you may be seated after that brief moment. At the conclusion of our service today, you are invited to receive a flower of remembrance from the deacons. Now, our deacons will take the flowers into the foyer, the narthex of the auditorium, following the conclusion of our choir's benediction. As we do so, please reflect on life and faith shared and relationships that have changed. Following the conclusion of the chronological listing of the deaths of our loved ones, there will be a litany for us to share together. It will be on the screen, and it is also on that yellow sheet within your bulletin. Pastor Randy, each year, acknowledges an apology if some family relationships are missed. And so we begin with Jack Brown, brother of Ermi Wilk. Erna Schrader, mother of Crystal, Gisela, Erica, Albert, and Arthur. John Giesbreck, brother-in-law to Ermi Wuljik. Reinhold Heider, husband of Marie, father of Waldi and Margarita. Anna Martins, mother of Martha, Helena, Neil, Abe, and stepchildren Elizabeth, Jake, John, and Katarina. William Voth, brother of Helen Fast. Dennis Parsons, brother of Nancy Newhamel, family friend of Diane Lepp, Trudy Enns, and Ed Enns. Ken Workington, son of Ed and Selma Workington, and brother of Rick. Carl Vogt, husband of Eleanor. Betty Enns, mother of Diane and Herb, Ed and Marianne, and Trudy. Irene Friesen, mother of Irene, Helen, and Marilyn. Peter Harder, husband of Helen, father of Peter, Marianne, and David. Catherine Fomenari, sister of Doug and Renee Penner. Margaret Adamson, grandmother of Taya and John Himes. Kathy Kopeschny, mother of Ernie, Gary, and Alan, and sister of John and Ruth Ann Hildebrand. Jürgen Wagener, husband of Jutta, father of John, Fred, Peter, and Marlene. Jacob Clausen, stepbrother to Bill and Nettie Brown. Katharina Wulk, stepsister to Bill Brown and Nettie Brown. Dietrich Hildebrand, brother of Marie Heider, Henry Hildebrand, and Helen Weeb, nephew of Franz and Tina Dick. Dietrich Brown, brother to Bill and Nettie Brown. Katie Weinberger, mother of Bernie, Kurt, Lauren, and Roy. Martha Bartell, mother of Randy Epp and Thomas Epp. Gary P. Krauss, nephew of Helen Fast. Valdemar Peters, father of Ingrid, Karen, and Rita. Torsten Dirksen, nephew of Ursula and John Dirksen. Peter Simons, brother of Liz and Ike Kopeschny. Annie Neufeld, mother of John, Laura, and Will. Jacob Hildebrand, husband of Tina, father of Vera, George, John, Neil, Ellie, and Ruth. Ingeborg Rempel, wife of Helmut, brother of Richard and David, and sister of Nellie. Hedwig Bikali, mother of Heidi. Catherine Lechtemann, mother of Ruth and Eleanor, sister-in-law of Jesse Enns. Henry Peters, husband of Mary, father of Mary Bloat. Andrew Wheeler, husband of Dana, son of Harry and Erica Wheeler. Irmgard Voth, mother of Henry, Ted, and Erica. John H. Brown, brother of Ermi Wilk. I invite you to share in the litany of remembrance that is on the screen and on that yellow insert. I will be the leader, and people, please respond as you are able. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of love and the sharing of faith with those whom we have named before you. As we remember their journey here on earth, help us to entrust them to your eternal care. God watches over us and longs for our healing and grieves with us in our pain of loss, in quiet moments when we miss our loved ones most. Help us to stay close to Jesus, who guides us through this life. And when we lose sight of Jesus, send us your Holy Spirit to help us find our way until we meet again. May God Himself, the God of peace, make you holy and whole. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be fit and ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God, for all the joys and love of life, we give you thanks for those with whom we have shared. For all the pain and sorrows of grief, we look to you for comfort and healing. Because of Jesus Christ, in this life and the next, we have hope of resurrection and of meeting you and our loved ones once again. And we entrust these loved ones named before you into your care. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to resist the evil one, that we might serve our Lord Jesus Christ in this life with joy and peace. Amen. I will now lead in a brief pastoral prayer, wanting to acknowledge as well that in the foyer, as you leave today, please be certain to not only pick up a carnation as you are here today to acknowledge a loved one that has passed, but also pick up that January birthday list. Quite a host of January babies. And you would also notice that we have three young people who are celebrating their birthday today. Fred Berg, Helga Runke, and Peter Nettie Thiessen. So they and many, many others are listed there. So while we celebrate and give thanks for the life of those who have passed on, we also give thanks for the lives of those who are celebrating birthdays today. As we go to prayer, let's also acknowledge that this is within the Eastern Orthodox Church. This is their Christmas season. So we think of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and in Russia, in the midst of the violence, that there would be caregivers, deacons, Christian leaders, shepherds, pastors, to come alongside, that in the midst of their sorrow and violence, they would pause and remember our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, COVID is not finished with this, with its run on our community yet. Many in our congregation have experienced COVID with accompanying other viruses. So let's pray for one another. We will pause during our pastoral prayer to allow you a moment to lift up before God's throne of grace loved ones that come to your memory. Let us join together for a brief season of prayer. We acknowledge that to everything there is a season, a time to be born, and a time to die. And we give thanks to you, O God, for men and women and youth within this congregation who are celebrating this month the gift of life. Whether they be 8, 18, or 87. We thank you as well, God, that within this congregation, we reach out and we care for our brothers and sisters. Some who have been recently hospitalized, others who are convalescing within their homes. Many have experienced the effects and the long-term effects of COVID and other related viruses and weaknesses. And so during these moments of quietness, we whisper their names before your throne of mercy. In the midst of these days, O God, there are men and women and youth within this congregation who are weak, who are sick, who have issues related to body, mind, and soul. That spiritual needs would be met through the ministry of the Spirit of God, using the Word of God, with Christians coming alongside to offer encouragement. We thank you for those who volunteer amongst us. For members of all of our different committees, we entrust them to you and pray that in their work they would not grow weary in their well-doing, but they would be infused with a measure of your grace, that they would keep on keeping on. And at the beginning of this new year, we entrust to your provision, O God, the pastor of your choosing, that that person would be led of the Spirit with 100% confidence, and that we as a congregation would discern the leading of your Spirit in these matters. We thank you, God, for the provisions that God's people, through worship, offer their tithes and offer their love offerings. Receive these offerings, O God, on a regular basis as acts of worship coming from our homes and our lives. And we entrust these offerings to the maintenance and to the mission of this local community. Be pleased, we pray, O God, to watch over. In particular, we pray this day for Taya, as she would preach the message that you have laid upon her heart. May it provide not only soothing words, but also challenging words for us as a congregation. Thank you for these holy, sacred moments. We sit in anticipation of the word being read and preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the choir.
Mother is born. I'm reading from Ephesians 1, verse 11 to 23. And this is where the Apostle Paul speaks to the Ephesians. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan in him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fulfillment of him who fills everything in every way.
Good morning. A thousand days are but a moment to our God. All life is finite, and one day it fades away. Still, we treasure the days we are gifted to spend doing what we love with those whom we love. And one day, sometimes ever so reluctantly, we give them back to God. Today, we thank God for the saints in our lives. We arrive together this morning with appreciation for this opportunity to gather together for worship, and though a few months later than we had originally anticipated, we gather taking time within our worship service to celebrate the lives of those near and dear to us who've passed away this past year. We reflect in appreciation for those important people in our lives that have gone before us and all that they have left behind, which we carry with us in our hearts. Though our loved ones may not be with us in body, as we heard read from Ephesians chapter 1, the author considers that in God, through Jesus, we all are united in two forms, a unity in the present and a unity across time. And as someone who has lost a significant person in my life in the last year, that consideration brings me much comfort. We speak of remembering our saints. I'm not entirely sure that is language the majority of us would use on a regular basis in regard to the people in our personal lives. I'm not sure the last time somebody reminded me that I was a saint, or I them. But we hear of popular saints such as Saint Francis of Assisi, St. Patrick every March, and even St. Valentine. Yet it's rather uncommon for us to consider those of whom we know personally to be referred to as saints, especially in the present. However, within the New Testament, the term saints is ordinarily used and written in their present sense. Followers of Jesus were referred to as saints because one was considered to be blessed by God through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the redemption of one's sins in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Some biblical translations include the word saints rather than a more general term like people, as we heard in verse 15. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. The author does not cease in giving thanks for these saints in their life. In their giving thanks, the author emphasizes that our love for one another is as important as having faith in Jesus. We are called to love our saints. We've heard it said time and time and time again, the two greatest commandments. One, love our God. And two, love our neighbor. No contingencies or requirements. And on occasions throughout the church year, like Eternity Sunday, we take time to remember our neighbors, the saints in our lives that have gone before us. One commentator writes of their church experience of the Eternity Sunday celebration. Their minister asked everyone to close their eyes and envision the generations before them flowing around and through the sanctuary, crossing paths with those in the here and now, having congregants actively bring to mind and remember the saints that have gone before, thinking of the different clothing they would have worn, or the different worship styles or traditions of the time, how different the scene or the building may have looked. In this recollection, we are reminded of the deep interconnectedness we have with those in the present, but also that we are just as deeply connected with those of the past. We read and speak of being one in Christ, the making up of one body together. Yet it is simple to forget that we are one in Christ not only with those in our immediate midst, or those we can physically see ourselves, but also those that have gone before us, and those still to come. Some scholars question the true identity of the author of the book of Ephesians, but it is considered by many that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the people of Ephesus while he was imprisoned in Rome, as a means to encourage and strengthen their Christian faith by sharing his thoughts on the purpose of the church as the body of Christ. I know I've mentioned it before, I'm sure, but I always appreciate reading Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Message as another version of the text to reflect on as I prepare a sermon. And I do recognize it's not an official translation, but it can be incredibly helpful and sometimes make things a little easier to understand, especially in the more grammatically unique texts like ours this morning. Sometimes I feel Paul's always keeping us on our toes with his sentence structure and his wording. So Ephesians 1, 11 to 23 from the Message. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It is in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, you found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This down payment from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we will get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. That's why, when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus, and your outpouring of love to all the believers of Jesus. I could not stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. Ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is that he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Our identity, our purpose, what we are living for, comes from God in Christ. The plans for our lives were already planned and destined for us before we even knew of Christ. It is through him that we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The message says, he, Jesus, is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. That it is not peripheral to the world is peripheral to the church. It is not that the church is part of the world, but the world is part of God's overarching plan and love for the church, for his children. God put this power, this immeasurable greatness, to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Jesus holds the power. Not our works or our social status, not the number of people in the pews or the dollar signs in our budget hold the power to tell us what exactly our purpose is or determine our worth or our value. The glorious life that we are promised through God is not contingent on our personal performance, nor the value of our church and our work found in who is standing up here behind the pulpit or who's sitting in the seats. It's easy for us to surrender ourselves to another influence, something that the world says is important or powerful, and thinking that that reigns supreme. And yet, Ephesians 1 tells us something different. The immeasurable power and authority of Jesus Christ, the Savior of our world and Son of our Creator God, transcends all time, space, and the things of this world that society tells us signifies power. I was struck by a quote I read by Sarah Birmingham Drummond, a minister and staff member at Yale Divinity School. Regarding the consideration of time and space, Drummond writes, "The image of the cross takes on new significance when one considers the perspective on time and space as proposed in Ephesians. The vertical beam suggests unity with God above and ancestors below. The horizontal beam signifies unity with others in Christ in the present. As the beams intersect, we recognize that the life in Christ is a life of unity that provides both continuity and community, both awe and humility." Having considered the cross in this context, I will admit that I've yet to be able to look at this familiar faith symbol quite the same. As we look to the cross, we consider the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We feel the love of God for us as his people. And now we are also reminded of the deep-rooted ways that we are united, past, present, and future. And yet this concept of both God's presence and relevance, transcending time and space, past and present, can be rather mind-bending. A few months ago, we had a new visitor join us at Kids Club. They're about 7 years old, and they arrived with their mom and their grandma one Thursday evening, rather early, while John and I were still getting set up. And they were a friend of a friend of a friend who had heard of Kids Club and wanted to join us. And so in they came and got registered, and this new friend of mine was looking around rather curiously at the back door, asking some very specific questions around what Kids Club would look like and what we would be doing. So after a while, it crossed my mind that perhaps a proper look around the building would be helpful to ease some of the trepidation that I could see arising in their face. Naturally, having never been in this big building before, they had some inquiries. So I offered to take them on a tour, which they very quickly jumped at the opportunity to do. We were at the back, as I said, the back door, and what they really wanted to see was upstairs. They kept pointing up here into the narthex. So up we came, and we took a look at where we hang up our coats and the shelving at the back that holds some pamphlets and other information and the kids' corner and the activity packs. And then I opened that main door of the sanctuary, and I said, "And this is our sanctuary." And I naively assumed, given the way that they reacted to other things about church that we had talked about, that they would have no idea what the sanctuary was. They grabbed my hand with this audible, like an excited gasp, and they peeked in and looked in. There was no lights on. And very, very quietly asked, "Does God live here?" And I almost melted. It was the sweetest moment. But then I kind of panicked, because how do you explain the concept of God and the ways in which he transcends time and space and where he lives to a 7-year-old that I met like 8 minutes ago? But thankfully, something eventually just came out. I said, "Isn't that so cool? God does live here, but he doesn't just live here, he lives everywhere," which got quite a confused look. They thought for a moment, but he can't be at every house at the same time. And I said, "Well, actually, the coolest part is not only can God be at every house at the exact same time, but he also goes with you everywhere you go, because he's in our homes and our cars and out in our community. And most importantly, he lives in our hearts." And this look of pure joy, like, really? Like, actually with me all the time? And just as it was getting to that really deep moment, I heard calling up the stairs asking if the chips that I bought earlier that day needed to be brought inside from my car, so that mind-bending concept and sweet moment that we had was put on hold for potato chips. But anyway, though I may not have answered the many questions that little one had, I'm sure that there are a million other things I could have, would have, should have said. But I trust that the presence and power of God and his infinite wisdom is bigger than our one conversation, that the saints have gone before and those all around us have a significant role to play in the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And thankfully, our salvation does not rest on any one conversation or one human's shoulders. The shift in date of sharing this service together and the sharing of this message is rather interesting to me for a few reasons. It's thought-provoking to have such a theme as remembrance and giving thanks on this first Sunday worship service of a new year. My family and I were chatting on New Year's Day about how we find that age-old New Year's resolution doesn't really stick or work as effectively for us. But we got to thinking about the process of choosing a word, a singular word, as a focus for the upcoming year. So we were tossing around some ideas back and forth to one another. But then came the idea of, at the end of the year, looking back on all the experiences of the past 12 months, reflecting then on what the word of the past year would be. Would it be the same as the one we chose at the beginning? Or would the year look a little differently than we anticipated? It was an interesting thought to ponder. When we sit in remembrance, reflecting on the past 12 months, it would be natural for us to be able to focus on all the glaringly obvious things that didn't go the way we had hoped for. Canceled plans, job loss, broken relationship, loss of a loved one. But I would contend that there would be things just as beautiful woven in and around and through all the pain and the mess as well. Now, that's not to discredit the hurt we may feel. Recognizing the good doesn't erase the bad. But perhaps we can try to remember and hold the truth that God has a painfully beautiful story for humanity, being orchestrated with an overall purpose that He is working out in everything and everyone. And sometimes that has moments of darkness, even the death of His own Son. To get to celebrate the resurrection, we have to journey through days of darkness. And through that darkness and that uncertainty, God was still there. Looking back on our past year in times of darkness, God was still there. Today, wherever we may find our hearts to be, God is here. And in the uncertainty we face, God is already there, already working out His glorious purpose in everything and everyone. This theme of remembrance also fits well with this being the last message that I will share with you here at St. Catharines UM. I couldn't write this sermon and read this text and spend time wrestling with this topic with God without taking the opportunity to say how these verses are the exact sentiments that I wish for you all as John and I prepare to close our chapter with you. I give thanks for each and every one of you, and I do remember you in prayer. I ask that God would enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we all would continue to grow and learn to know Him better, that you may know the hope to which He has called you, you individually and as a faith community, and that you may always remember His incomparably great power and mighty strength. It is not lost on me the presence of that sometimes rather overwhelming feeling of being overwhelmed in the unknown. We all find ourselves in that place. Our unknowns just look a little bit different. One doesn't have to pass away to grow into a memory. Anytime there is a form of transition, be it in a career or a physical move or a natural evolution of relationship, we can look back with fond memories of the time with us, the saints that were in our lives, and the lessons and the gift they share. You all have taught me so very much, and I can only hope that I have been a positive and a loving presence for you as well. I was so thankful to have been able to hear one of my most favorite hymns this morning shared by our choir. Thank you for that. And right before the message, too, it was perfect timing. It ties in so well. Nothing is lost on the breath of God, filled with such beautiful reminders. Nothing, nothing is lost on the breath and the eyes and the heart of God. No feather is too light, no hair is too fine. Every drop in the ocean and speck of dust in the air. And there's a lot of dust just in my house alone, so that's a lot. All of it is counted and part of God's story. God is love. He sees with love, and His love remains forever. No distance is too great. Not even the darkest of valleys is too blinding. No child is too small for God to be seeking and finding. No impulse of love or responsibility or act of care. No moment of life in its fullness is ever lost from the eyes of God. No beginning is ever too late, and no ending is ever too soon. All is gathered and known in its goodness. God is never in a hurry, but he is always on time. Be it an end of life or of career, the end of a relationship, or the end of merely the way things have always been, God gives us the opportunity to reflect, to give thanks, and remember in prayer all that has been shared. We give thanks as we remember not only the saints and holy ones that have gone before us, but also for the gift of our inheritance, given to us by our faith in Jesus Christ, that we share with all the saints, which joins us as the body of He who takes away the sin of the world. As we go from here into this new week and new year, may you go with the eyes of your hearts enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which you all have been called by God. Hold deep within your soul the knowledge of the power and mighty strength that He holds for all His children, as you are faced with conflict or grief, pain or uncertainty. Walk into these coming days with the assurance of God's unending, sacrificial, and unfathomably gracious love for you, and go and share that exact same love with all that you may meet, be it here within these walls or out in His creation. Glory to God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Taya, for the thoughtful and thought-provoking words that obviously came from your heart, and all the best. We're going to respond by singing "Because He Lives." Please stand if you're able.
Missing some words. I'll read. There's the last verse that we do want to sing, but I think it's important that we also read the first verse. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy our pardon. An empty grave is there to prove our Savior lives. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because we know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Yeah. choir would like to offer a benediction this morning, and we want to invite you to also offer it to each other and sing along with us. We'll sing through it once, and then invite you to sing it as well twice. The word should be on the screen there. There it is.